welcome to the Wealth Enterprise Briefing.
Hi, everyone. This is Michael Zerner. I'm one of the managing partners at Weave Family Offices, and thanks for listening to the Wealth Enterprise Briefing. Today, I'm joined by Sam Sudami, who's our head of global macro, and we're going to talk about the economy. We're going to talk about the markets, but in particular, we're going to focus on the fact that we just had a firm-wide investment committee meeting in the last couple of weeks, and we emerged from that committee meeting with a slightly different view as to where we stood in terms of the global economy and where we stood with respect to markets. I'd like to start, Sam, with a focus on the global economy. And I guess the big theme that I took away from all of our committee discussions was that we may be at the beginning of a new cycle, but that new cycle looks different, perhaps, than a classic economic macro cycle. So maybe talk with us a little bit, Sam, about what that means. What does it mean to be at the beginning of a cycle, and why do we see this time as being a little bit different?
Sure. Thank you very much, Michael. So we believe that we might be nearing the start of a new economic cycle. What we had seen over the previous 2 years was really rolling recessions caused by the aggressive Fed monetary policy. It was not a classical recession where the entire economy goes down at one point. In other words, the National Bureau of Economic Research had never rung the bell and officially said we had a recession. Instead, this was more elongated as different parts of the economy reacted to interest rates at a different rate. But now we're starting to see that a new cycle is beginning. And one of the classic ways to look at the cycles using the leading index of economic indicators, which are the drivers of future economic growth. It's looking at components such as new orders, building permits, which can point to future economic growth. And what we've seen just in the last month is that the leading index of economic indicators grew for the first time in 2 years. Importantly, one of the very important subcomponents is manufacturing PMIs, the pulse of the manufacturing sector in America. It increased for the first time in a year and a half. This is a good indicator of what the future cycle could be like. But it's more than just that. We've seen consumer confidence increase. Consumer confidence was very low for the last few years. Finally, late last year, we had a sizable pickup in consumer confidence. One of the reasons, because wages were growing, inflation was starting to subside. Another way that we use to analyze economic growth are looking at the four cylinders, if you will, of the economic engine: housing, autos, CapEx, and inventories. And we've seen all of those start to turn. But this is what propels an economy going forward. So the first one was housing. When the Fed raised interest rates, housing is a very levered sector. It was one of the first to get hit by higher interest rates, and housing slumped for about a year and a half. We're finally seeing housing pick up. The second one are autos. Auto production has been down steadily for many years. What we've seen is that the average age of a vehicle out on the roads is about 12 years. That's pretty old, which means we'll start beginning a new cycle of autos being produced. The third is capital expenditures. We've seen durable goods finally start to rise. And inventories. Inventories destocked. As companies did not produce, they used up what they had, which is part of the manufacturing recession we had. And we're finally seeing durable goods start to rise. But there are differences in this cycle, as you mentioned. The first is Fed policy. In a classic type of new cycle, the Fed starts to aggressively lower interest rates in order to stimulate that cycle. It's probably different this time. Now, we came into this year thinking markets thought there might be 6 to 7 rate cuts, as is done typically. But that doesn't look to be happening now. In fact, the market is looking at probably 3 interest rate cuts this year. People are now talking maybe 1 interest rate cut this year. That is going to have a very different effect. It'll mean a higher for longer for the Federal Reserve instead of the Fed aggressively taking interest rates down as they had in past cycles. Another major difference is employment. In a typical recession, unemployment rate rises significantly. And at the beginning of this cycle, unemployment is high and then starts to fall. And that also further causes the economy to grow. We're in a situation right now where employment is very tight. We have a very strong jobs market. So as a result, the major improvement of lowering unemployment is not going to happen in this cycle because we're already at near 50-year lows. Maybe the third difference, which will affect this cycle, is going to be federal debt. In a typical recession, the government has to pay more in automatic stabilizers such as unemployment benefits. It has less tax revenue, and the deficits tend to be rather high. Right now, the deficits are very high with a very good economy. Moreover, typically in a cycle, deficits fall as the economy improves. This time, according to the Congressional Budget Office, we're going to stay at high deficits probably for years to come. So there are many similarities, but there are also many differences to the start.
Okay. So at the end of the day, though, right, the beginning of a cycle to me means, you know, corporate earnings, right, should recover, should grow nicely. We've just come out of a couple of years where corporate earnings got depressed, whether it was manufacturing or the services economy, and that sort of growth in corporate earnings and health of corporate earnings is what powers then, you know, the capital markets to recover and take new highs, which is basically what we've been experiencing in the last couple of weeks. But if I hear you, okay, clearly, right, if we're at the beginning of a new cycle, yet rates are higher, not lower, yet employment is really strong, not weak, okay, and the overhang of the, you know, of the government debt situation is there. How does that all come together and affect differently what we might be expecting to see happen in a more classic cycle in the capital markets? What is likely to be an opportunity and what is likely to be something to be careful about, not using playbooks from prior cycles?
Sure. So let's start with equities because you mentioned earnings. The stock market is fairly efficient. And as you noted, you know, through late last year, earnings were basically flat for 2 years. And as a result, the S&P 500 was basically flat for 2 years. The market went through a correction through September 30th, and then we had a strong rebound in the fourth quarter. Equity markets tend to look ahead, and it's likely that the equity market rebound late last year was looking at this improvement in the cycle. What we've also seen right now is the estimate of earnings, where earnings were flat for 2 years. We're now looking at double-digit earnings growth expected for this year and next year. And it's not just the Magnificent Seven. So the Magnificent Seven has done a lot of the heavy lifting for earnings growth in the fourth quarter of last year and this year, and this year first quarter. But going forward, the market cycle is expected to broaden out with earnings growth across the rest of the 493 stocks. So this will be where it is similar to the past, where you have strong earnings growth at the beginning. However, there's one point that is very different than in the past. In a typical market cycle for equities, valuations are low. In a recession, valuations come down quite a bit. This time around, we're starting the cycle with high valuations. Yes, the Magnificent Seven is lifting the S&P 500 valuations to very high levels. But when we go under the hood, the rest of the market, while better value than the Magnificent Seven, is still fairly high on a historical basis. What that means is, with a high valuation as a headwind, returns across the cycle would typically be less than had been seen in the past. It's likely we'll make good returns, but not terrific returns in equities.
And so what's so interesting about that is if you combine that with what's happening with interest rates and the Fed signal, right, and you suspect that rates could stay higher for longer, the risk return equation on fixed income, particularly short to intermediate duration fixed income, looks awfully attractive relative to the risk return on equities. Not to say that we're bearish on equities, but we are neutral on equities and quite comfortable and overweight on fixed income, which is also a very different set of factors than one might see in a typical cycle.
Because, you know, what typically happens in a cycle is that the flight to quality leads bond yields to be bonds to be very attractive in a recession. When you get out of a recession and the Fed is lowering interest rates, investment grade isn't as attractive anymore. Where this cycle is different is with the Fed likely to keep rates higher for longer, investment grade looks very attractive for the foreseeable future. Relative to equities, they're quite attractive. The one area, though, that's also different would be in high yield. Typically, when we start a new cycle because of the recession, high yield spreads tend to be very high and then start to fall as you get through the cycle. We're starting this cycle with high yield spreads very tight, whereas the absolute yield might be attractive. The spreads are very low. But another area that points to the beginning of a new cycle is over in real assets, which is commodities. So commodities are a concurrent asset. They move with the economic cycle. It's driven by current demand versus current supply. And what we've seen very recently is a strong pickup in the price of industrial metals. Copper, aluminum, nickel have been rising significantly over the past few weeks as we've seen manufacturing PMIs, which we talked about earlier, start to pick up. So that is one similarity to the past. And we think that at the beginning, though, there's still a good runway for commodities.
So in some sectors, the more things change, the more they stay the same. In other sectors, things are fundamentally changed. So watch this space, navigate carefully, and we'll continue to have a discussion as things unfold and we see what direction the Fed and other central banks around the world decide to take interest rates, and then how that will play out as this new cycle emerges. Thank you, Sam. Always good to talk to you. Look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you, Michael.